BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, I'm Emma Tracy. This is Access All, the weekly podcast where disability and mental health is always top of the agenda. And this week, in the disability world at least, there is one big story. The government has released the Disability Action Plan. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's go.
I am proud of who I am.
When I was younger, I was told I could be anything.
Being deaf, like nothing wrong, it's such a joy to be deaf.
Me, live at the Apollo, Houston!
I'm on the autism spectrum, so I don't really care about social codes.
They're bringing into the question, should your child exist when he's just on the swings next to you?
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had someone to speak to where you could offload all of your week's grief?
On Monday, the government published its Disability Action Plan. In Parliament, Mims Davies, the new Disability Minister, introduced it like this.
I am delighted to deliver on the government's commitment to transform the everyday lives of disabled people across the country for the better. We as a government are working to make this country the most accessible place in the world for disabled people to live, work and thrive.
She described it as one pillar in what the government are doing for disabled people. Today, we'll be digging into what's in the plan and how we got here. Interesting. With me, I've got James Taylor, Head of Policy and Strategy Man at disability charity Scope. Hi, James.
Hi there.
I've got Rachel Charlton-Daly, who's a disability rights campaigner and journalist who writes for various publications, including The Mirror and The Big Issue. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
And we've got the BBC's disability correspondent, the one and only Nikki Fox.
That was very official. It's very unlike us.
Listen, we'll stick with you first, Nikki. Now, what is the Disability Action Plan?
That's a big question there, Emma. Well, the Disability Action Plan, as you said, is that 32 actions that the government has put together to, in their words, transform the lives of disabled people. Now, the context around this, as we know very well, Em, because we've covered this on the podcast in the past. Yeah, so for context, Emma, we had the Disability Strategy in 2021, and that was also billed, like the Action Plan, as transforming the lives of disabled people. But we know what happened. Obviously, there was some legal action, and it was all around the consultation process. So Doug Pawley and others took the government to court, saying that they didn't consult properly. And if you don't consult properly, how can you come up with a big strategy to improve the lives of disabled people? They were successful, but then that was overruled by the Court of Appeal and found in the government's favour. That was in July 2023. So there was a few years where nothing was being done because of all the legal shenanigans. So that's kind of how the action plan has come about, really. It's come about because of what happened to the strategy and what went on. And it was billed again as a plan to transform the lives of disabled people. The Minister for Disabled People, Mims Davies, have said she wants, you know, Britain to be the best place for disabled people to live, work and thrive. You know, it's kind of, you know, some strong words behind this action plan.
A mini short-term strategy.
Yeah, but they've been bolder than I thought, considering. See, at one point I thought, OK, this is going to be the new strategy. But it's not the new strategy. I've spoken to, you know, the minister's people, and the strategy, as we know, is still going, you know, it's still to come. The strategy part two. So this is kind of like an interim. But they have, you know, they put some strong words behind it.
Yeah. So what is in it?
There's some stuff that I know disabled people wouldn't knock. I went to an accessible playground in Barnet, North London, which was delightful, best filming day. And there is some measures in the strategy to not put money into creating more accessible playgrounds, but to make it easier for councils to go about what they have to go about to get accessible playgrounds off the ground. But the parents that I met actually had to fundraise as well as get some money off the local authority. So, you know, money is always an issue. We've got stuff in here about about the most controversial point, actually, about the rights of assistance dog users. If you're blind and you need a guide dog, you know, go to a shop or whatever and you're refused entry, that is illegal. But they have mentioned in here that they want to streamline the reporting process for access refusals. But obviously,
and that's for other assistance dogs as well.
That's exactly right. Not just for the, yeah, that's right, Emma, for other assistance dogs.
Not all
dogs.
About blind people, unfortunately.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It is in my world,
so
Emma.
I'm told.
There is also a new fund to support disabled people who want to be politicians, get into elected office, which, you know, I've met quite a few wannabe disabled politicians, and that's, you know, I don't think anyone would knock that either. BSL interpretation, that's British Sign Language interpretation, that's to be at all major press conferences and briefings. That's going to happen from spring 2024, and we know that there was a whole hoo-ha, rightly, about the lack of BSL interpretation at the big government briefings during the lockdown.
You did a piece on the news on Monday night about the plan. Did people get in touch with you afterwards? What was the reaction like from disabled people, briefly?
Yeah, we had a lot of reaction, actually. I mean, in the piece, I was particularly keen on, you know, hearing from the voices of the people that I hear from all the time anyway. You know, we know that right now there is a cost of living crisis, and that's impacting disabled people in many ways. You know, we've done it before on the podcast, energy prices, people that need to charge equipment, all of that kind of stuff. We know that employment's been an issue that's been going on for years. You know, more disabled people want to work and the difficulties around that. We know that there's a care crisis. You know, a lot of people can't find carers. We know that people with learning disabilities are sometimes inappropriately housed in these awful assessment treatment units. There are really big, big issues that are impacting a lot of disabled people, and I wanted to get that into our report as best we could in the time that we had. Off the back of the report, you know, I noticed straight away, and I know you guys have too, Katie Pennick's tweet. You know, she tweeted nothing on transport, nothing on housing, nothing on social care, nothing on PIP, nothing on hate crime, nothing on urban planning, nothing on healthcare, nothing, nothing, nothing.
What you're saying is a lot of the feedback, Nikki, was about what wasn't in it.
Yes.
James, you're from Disability Charity Scope. What's Scope's reaction been?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some things in it. Whether they're the right things, completely debatable. I think if the government's goal is to make the UK the most accessible place in the whole world, which is a really laudable aim, I don't think anyone would deny that's a good goal. However, the actions in the plan don't stack up to creating the most accessible country in the whole world. It feels very piecemeal. There's no funding behind anything. There are some commitments to do things, but some of them are quite far off in the future. There's a really good thing about funding for people who want to seek elected office. That's a fund that was scrapped a couple of years ago. It's coming back, but it's not coming back until next year after the general election. And there's a couple of actions which are more about the minister will have discussions with people, which don't really feel like actions and feel like something the minister should be doing as part of their day-to-day business anyway. So I think it's disappointing. I think the goal is good, but I think what's underneath it, and I think if we're calling it a pillar, you know, I'm worried that it's going to fall down. The action does very little to address the concerns that Nikki's talked about from disabled people up and down the UK.
Rachel, let's come to you now. You've been listening to Nikki and James there. What is your reaction as a disability rights campaigner to the plan?
It's pretty much agreeing with what everybody said. The plan in pieces is good, and there is some small pieces that are good from it. But from the whole, it really just lacks tangible actions that go beyond highlighting or speaking to. Like James says, those are things that should already be happening. You know, in a government that's been in power, even though it's different forms of government for 14 years, they should already know these things. And they can brag all they want about wanting to make it the most accessible place for disabled people. But what's that going to count for when disabled people can't even survive the winter, when they're not being given the support to actually be able to get a job or to just live their life on a daily basis?
Because there was something, Emma, in there about the cost of living, but it was improving understanding of the cost of living for disabled people. And it's exactly what your guests have just mentioned there. It was the talking, not the actual action, you know, like a social energy tariff, you know, that was going to be a thing. And it's
yeah,
not a thing.
And a lot of people are saying, aren't they, that there's been enough, they feel, research on the cost limit. And when Mims Davies, Disability Minister, announced it in Parliament, not all MPs were impressed with the plan. Here's Marion Fellows from the SNP.
This Disability Action Plan isn't a plan, it's a mishmash of short-term policies. Yep. Some of the proposals are welcomed and should have been sorted out long ago. Others are unclear and simply don't address the most pressing concerns of disabled people.
Yep. She's not happy, Nikki. The government says that it's a pillar. It's one of the things that they're doing for disabled people, and it's a short-term plan and it's very specific areas. How would you describe the plan?
Well, the disability strategy, which I thought may have gone away, but it hasn't, and that is still going to be a thing. We're not sure what's going to happen with that. I have no dates or anything to give you, unfortunately, but I am on it like a bonnet, Emma. But I don't know. But it is to work alongside that and many other initiatives. But it's difficult because there was a lot kind of riding on the action plan for a lot of disabled people. One of the things that I thought really got people exercised was the online article, which was, you know, it was talking about the rights of assistance dog users, which you'll know about, Ems, as well.
Always get lots of reaction.
Dogs get, I mean, why not? Why not? People were saying, you know, it is illegal for any service provider to deny entry to someone with a disability who needs a guide dog anyway. So, you know, they felt like the plan was kind of making these points, and actually what's needed is enforcement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so a lot of the things in the plan are actually about more understanding, and there are things that are either around or have been talked about for a long time anyway, and it's, could it be described as a talking shop, James?
I think there are some tangible things in there. I think, you know, the sort of cross-governmental approach is a welcome one. However, I think, like we've said, there's not really much substance in its scope. And I know lots of other disability charities and disabled people's organisations will push government to go further. And I think, you know, we really want to hold them to account on, firstly, making sure these things happen. But secondly, there's now a bit of a confusing situation where we've got an action plan, a national disability strategy bubbling away somewhere, as Nikki said. We've got a white paper on disability benefits. We've got a back to work plan. There's a social care plan, all impacting on disabled, but it's not really clear how these things link up and join up. And they have to, if we're going to create the most accessible country in the world. We can't have lots of separate pillars. Mm. We have to have one really strong foundation.
So how would they do that then?
Well, I think sort of bringing it back together, really, and being really clear, what is it that government are trying to do? When is it trying to do it by? And what does success look like? I think that's what's missing from yesterday. Some great actions, but not much clarity on when it's going to happen. And what will it feel like and look like for disabled people?
And Rachel, what do you think they're doing? Do you think maybe some of the cynical people that I've been reading are saying that they're putting in this short-term plan just to get votes at the general election?
That's definitely what it feels like, to be honest with you. Because whilst they're saying they're going to be having all of these talks and they're going to be having these discussions and raising awareness, they're also at the same time making disabled people the enemy again. You know, they're doing things such as in the press and in their other policies, such as the back to work policy. They're making it seem like we don't want to work, or like we are all lazy or lounging on benefits and all of that stuff. So they're putting all of the hatred back on disabled people, and then with the other hand going, oh, but here's how we're going to help them. We actually really are doing lots for disabled people. And it's like, you can't say you're doing both when the reason disabled people are suffering so much is you. Like, you know, you're the reason that we're struggling. You're the reason that we don't have the support, and that hate crime is rising more and more. It's not directly because of the government, but when all of these ideologies are coming out, it's going to affect the way society views us as well, you know?
Mm. I get so many emails, Emma, from disabled people saying to me, you know, I want to work, I want to be able to get up in the morning, live my life, do my thing, or whatever it is, you know? And that's, I think, more what many people were hoping the action plan would do, would improve those parts of their life. Like, you know, we know that people are struggling to find carers. We know the employment gap, the disability employment gap, has remained around 30% for as long as I've been in the job, well over 10 years. We know the, you know, care cost charges are really difficult for a lot of people. We know that disabled people are struggling with finances at the moment. And they're the kind of big issues that many disabled people tell me they want want to see tackled. You know, no one's knocking the fact that there may be more accessible playgrounds. That's great. The playground I went to, they were lovely. They, you know, it was joyful. It was great. No one's knocking certain things. But especially now, there are really huge issues that are really impacting disabled people, and they can't do anything about it. You know, it's out of a lot of people's control, and that's what they need to see. And there is no money in this plan. You know.
So that's interesting, you're saying that there is no money in this plan. It's all plans to do things after more consultation has happened. Yeah. But the government is doing something about the cost of living, isn't it? The government is doing something about getting disabled people back to work. You know, they were private members' bills, but they did bring through the Town Syndrome Act and the BSL Act as well.
Yeah. They did. There are things that they have done. I mean, this is what people tell me, that there are, you know, there are things that the government have done that you know, are helpful.
When it comes to wider interventions around energy, for example, tomorrow we'll see another cost of living payment. There'll be more support through the Household Support Fund. So I would say to anybody who was worried about their energy costs, if they're disabled or indeed have other needs, there is other support out there for them.
James, the $1.6 billion allocated for disability stuff is tied up in the disability strategy, which the government has told us they will give us more details of in due course. But we don't really know a lot about it, do we?
No, and remember that figure, which was announced with the strategy a couple of years ago, at the time, not new money. Mm. Wasn't new money then, it's not new money now. So I think it's really important to be clear that that's tied up in programmes, projects, pieces of work that are already ongoing or exist. It's not new funding. And I think this is the real challenge. And I think, you know, we talked about playgrounds, really great. I think the crux of where this is falling down, in the response to the survey, which had 1,300 responses, which is brilliant, 93% of respondents said they think there should be a legal requirement to make new playgrounds or playgrounds that are going under renovations accessible by law. 93% of the public agreed with that. It was even trailed in the consultation. Government in the plan yesterday said, oh, we're not going to do that. Despite nearly everybody responding saying that's a great thing to do. And I think that's just a real good example, I think, probably of how many disabled people and charities like Sco feel.
So they're going to set up an online portal for councils, and they're going to have best practice, aren't they? But the strategy, the progress of that, we don't know enough about that, do we, James?
No, we don't. I'm not clear where that's gone. And I think at Scope, we're going to push the minister on trying to get an update on where that is and how that actually links to the short-term actions that have been announced this week.
And will it happen before the election, do you think?
Well, I'd like to think so.
I'm none the wiser either, I'll be honest. No. It's my job.
No. What do you think, Rachel?
It's hard to get the information.
I haven't got a clue about any of this.
Rachel, what was your favourite thing in the action plan? What was the thing that you saw that you thought, actually, that's a really good thing?
The one good thing that I thought was that they're going to put more funding into researching domestic abuse and the reasons behind domestic abuse for disabled people, because that is something that really we are missing. There's the stats, but they're old stats, and we need more understanding of that. Mm. I think more than anything, I mean, that was one good thing, but more than anything, there was a lot around disabled kids, like the playgrounds and the SEN stuff. But we've got to remember that disabled kids hopefully will turn into disabled adults. And there wasn't enough for disabled adults and helping them thrive to get to that stage.
Interesting. And there's a lot about consultation. You know, the appeal about the strategy was that it wasn't consulted on properly. This plan mentions consultation, user panels, working groups, consultation a lot. Do you think the government has taken something from Doug Pawley's legal action and the appeal?
I think more than anything, they want to appear like they've taken something from it, and they want it to look like they're trying to listen to disabled people as much as possible. But whether they actually do listen to disabled people is a complete different matter, you know? I mean, because we've been shouting about these things for so long. Like, it's great that the BSL stuff's coming, but that's taken 4 years of people shouting about it.
Nikki, what do you think? The government seems to be going in hard on the fact that they have consulted disabled people and their families and are continuing to do so by setting up the user experience panels and the working groups to bring actions forward.
Yeah, well, I did look out for that when the action plan came through on email yesterday, and I think it's one of the first things that you read, you know, in the forward or something, where they clearly spell out that they consulted with more than 1,300 disabled people, their families and disability groups. They've got to, because that was the big problem. I mean, you know, legal shenanigans aside, that was an issue last time. So, yeah.
What are your final thoughts then, Nikki, on the plan?
It's just interesting for me as a journalist to look out for the reaction when something like this is announced. And, you know, social media has been a fascinating place for me, actually. I think if I was to summarise, and I think your guests, you know, Rachel and James have done this brilliantly as well. You know, no one's knocking the good parts, and there are some good parts in the plan from what disabled people tell me. I just have had that overwhelming feeling on social media and people that have contacted me that it's just not enough, that right now is a tricky time to be disabled. I mean, you know, it can be difficult for everyone at all times, but right now we've got a lot going on. Disabled people have got a lot going on, and really the focus on the really big issues that many tell me that it does need money, you know. Local authorities are stretched, you know, some of these problems, you know, it's going to be difficult to find a solution. That's what a lot of disabled people wanted to see with this plan and didn't.
They wanted to see more money and solutions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, MIMS, as James said, MIMS Davies, the minister, was you know, very much saying that, you know, she wants it to have a real transformational impact on the lives of disabled people, and she wants the UK to be the best place to live, work and thrive if you're disabled. And it's all, you know, that's great, and that's great that that's there, you know, on top of their agenda, but the plan really needs to kind of, you know, make a difference to the lives of many disabled people who are struggling at the moment.
James, what are your final thoughts?
Echo everything Nikki has said. I think it's you know, some good things, some things that need to go much further. I think thinking way back to the last election, there was a big commitment to tackle the employment gap, watered down through the National Disability Strategy. That was then watered down into the Disability Action Plan. So we're still left with these huge societal issues that I don't think government have really got a grip of. And it's a shame, because if they do, we would unlock so much potential of the 16 million people in this country, bring so much more money into the economy and make society a much better place for everyone. And I think that's the bit that's missing.
Rachel, unlocking potential?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential that could be unlocked, but more than anything, we just need to be given the tools and to be given the support that means we're going to be able to survive, and beyond survive, actually thrive. And because it's great that we have got this employability and this economic pull, but if we can't literally be allowed to just live our lives and be given the support to be able to live and to be able to work and thrive, then what's the point?
I would add very quickly that I was listening to MIMS Davies, the minister's interview, because she did a quick interview for us for the piece, and I was listening to it back today, and she did mention in her interview about wanting disabled people to live and work and thrive and all of those kind of things. But she was clear to also say, and to support people who can't. Now, she did use that awful V word, which we won't go. I wish they'd stop with
the vulnerable word.
Yes, I know.
Sorry, I said it. Yes,
I said it. You promised me you never do that.
A huge body of work which will make sure this country is the best place to be a disabled person, whether you're an entrepreneur like the Lilac Review that we announced just last week, or indeed if you want to get into work or you're most vulnerable and you need to be protected. I'm absolutely determined, whatever situation or need you have, this country will be the right place for you.
I know she did mention that word, but she did make a point of saying that. And I always look out for that, because I'm kind of mindful, because, again, I get messages and I speak to people who are like, you know, it's kind of a scary place to be when you can't do the things that the government wants you to do, like work. You know, it's hard, and some people can't, and they need to be supported. And
can't articulate that they can't. You know, can't articulate that they can't. Can't
exactly,
say
exactly,
that they can't.
Exactly.
Can't tell the government, I cannot work.
And if they don't have the support around them to articulate that for them either, you know, these people need to be thought of, for, you know, really very much so at the forefront of whoever is running the shop's mind, you know. And but she did mention that in the interview, didn't make it on the old box, but she did mention that in the interview, which I thought was, I always look out for that particularly, because I'm mindful of that.
Everybody, thank you so much. Rachel Charlton-Daly, James Taylor, and thank you to our disability correspondent, Nikki Fox. And Nikki, you're going to keep coming back onto the podcast, aren't you, when big disability stories arise?
Emma Tracy, you cannot keep me away from you.
Thank
I will
you.
Be back.
You can get in contact with us, you know. You can email us, accessall@bbc.co.uk, or you can go on to X, formerly known as Twitter, and we're at BBC Access All there. See you next week. Bye.
Newscast is the unscripted chat behind the headlines.
It's informed, but informal.
We pick the day's top stories and we find experts who can really dig into them.
We use our colleagues in the newsroom and our contacts.
Some people pick up the phone rather faster than others.
We sometimes literally run around the BBC building to grab the very best guests.
Join us for daily news chats
to get you ready for today's conversations.
Newscast. Listen on BBC Sounds.